If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to tell you
what you need to know. All right, we'll start you off with a little Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski, great NBA insider on ESPN, talking today about where the NBA is going to go, and basically said the NBA is considering three options to restarting the season.
One is to play as many regular season games as they can and then go to the playoffs, and that would be with all likely with all 30 teams, and then a pared-down version that might include a play-in tournament for teams who are still outside of the playoff picture in the standings, or possibly pool play into the postseason. There isn't a great appetite, especially among the contenders, of going right to the playoffs.
I get that, but they want to sharpen up and be at their best. But as long as it's a level playing field, as long as everybody has to travel the same path, I will say this. I think what's scary is that the 24-team format that has most people have the top eight getting a bye. I mean, you get a chance to, like, you survive a best-of-five series, which I think is one of the things they're talking about, which we'll get to about the NHL here in a second. But a best-of-five series on that, you get through it. Maybe it's sloppy hockey. Maybe you're lucky to get through, but you ought to be pretty sharp by the time you then go in and take on some of those upper seeds. I think those upper seeds may be sitting ducks, particularly in hockey. I don't know how much in basketball that would be. I'm sure there would still be some rust effect there. But, if you've got to play a series, if it's just one game, it's a single elimination game and the top eight advance and then the next ones pass on, I think that, one game, okay. But you get a whole series to knock the rust off and then go up against a team that hasn't had a chance to do that yet, that could make for some really interesting upsets. But, again, it's about getting the games going for the fans and for your own revenue. And whatever model they come up with, they're going to have to live with for whatever the best revenue model is for them. And I think everyone's just going to have to understand, hey, strange times equal strange postseasons. That's what it's going to be. Brian Windhorst says that really only the 16-team scenario is logical.
If you sit down and actually look at the numbers, and we have talked to the people, any rational person who looks at this with a level head is going to say that this needs to be a 16-team playoffs scenario. And there's about 20 different reasons. Number one, it's half the people you got to protect, which means half the test, which means half the chances of people, getting infected. Number two, after the first round of the playoffs, you reduce it by half and then by half again. It reduces the amount of time and it reduces the expense. And it solves the problem that you're going to have of lottery teams who have no hope of making the playoffs, potentially not even, like, I don't see what the incentive, other than being a good partner, as general manager Bob Myers has said, I don't see the incentive to have Steph Curry play 1 second.
No, I don't either. I mean, there was some talk that maybe we could see Kevin Durant coming back and playing and Kyrie Irving coming back and playing for the Nets, that if they're alive, that they would go. Kevin Durant's camp pretty much shot that down quickly, that no, they're not going to force him in there. If he's 100% healthy and you got a shot at the title, sure, give it a go. But I think they're still feeling like there'd be a little bit of a rush on that, so that won't happen. But, if the Warriors were in position where they were going to make it as an 8 seed and, okay, now we come back and, yeah, we don't have the highest seed, but we can fight, then there'd be a reason for those guys to play. But I think the NHL, which announced today, 24 teams, postseason only. The other six teams, they're out, they're done. We're not bringing them back and asking them to play. We're going to go right to the postseason, but we're going to expand the postseason. So all those teams that were kind of jostling for position and maybe still had a chance to make a run, they go into it, and we'll have 24 teams in the NHL playoffs. So I think the NHL has put their plan out there, and very soon we need to start hearing from what's going on in the NBA and what they're ultimately going to end up deciding. But I know, talking to some people I know that work in the league, and we were kicking around scenarios when this pandemic got started, that they were like, hey, they're asking any and all ideas. And, you know, these are some of the things that were being kicked around at that time. I think just getting a playoffs and getting a champion this year will be a monumental accomplishment and one the NBA needs to do. And I think we all like the idea of pushing that NBA season back. That's what's going to accompany it. Christmas Day very well could be the tip-off for the NBA every year, and you just push the championships into later into the summer, which I think is great. I like baseball, but there is kind of a doldrums to July and August. You know, and now if you've got NBA Finals coming up in August, boy, that calendar starts to get real thick. If the NBA takes it at Christmas, as the NFL is, much of the NFL is going out, right? The playoffs are still the big bell cow of the NFL. But all the teams that suck, fans are checking out in December.
Yeah.
And they are ready for basketball.
Yep.
And then their teams aren't playing in the playoffs, and they are ready to focus their attention on basketball. NBA takes it. They drive it all the way through with their champion being named in August, and then they hand it over to the NFL again. You've got this, the two most popular sports. And I think the sport that loses is baseball. Because now, I mean, they do still get to highlight their September stretch run and their October playoffs. But they now have severe competition in months that they used to take over and just dominate the headlines.
Yeah.
Now not only will you go into July and August and be going up against playoff NBA basketball, but you will also then turn right around and you have the NFL starting up to compete with you. And we know for teams that aren't in it, they just fade away in September. You know, I think that the sport that loses in this is baseball, but I think the NBA positions itself to where, you know, we talk about how it just hands right off. One hands to the other and then hands it right back to them, and baseball is kind of caught in the mix.
Well, with the NHL having theirs out, wouldn't you imagine that we're going to see the NBA within a week say, here's what we're going to do? I can't imagine it's going to.
Yes.
Yeah, they're probably
yes.
waiting. Okay, they've got this. Okay, this is all our ideas are out here. We've got an outline. Let's get this done. I don't think they want to wait 2 weeks after the NHL did it. I bet this time next week we'll be talking about the NBA format.
Well, I think we'll be talking about all of them. I think we'll be talking about MLS, and I think we'll be talking about baseball. Yeah. Baseball's the one that's kind of tricky because they seem willing to dig in and fight, and we may not see baseball. I'm not quite as convinced that we're definitely going to have a baseball season. I can see the players who generally seem to do a pretty good job with their money saying no. Like the top end guys are only going to get 20 or 30%. We'll see if they took too big a chunk out of the top end. They're trying to pay most of the guys on the lower end to get them to vote yes. Hey, I was only going to make $640,000, so now I'm going to make $605,000. Hey, I'm on board. Or $300,000, like half of my salary. Yeah, I'm on board. Let's go. As opposed to the guy, you know, everybody like Garrett Cole, who was scheduled to make $36 million and is only going to make $9 million. They're not as fired up about it. They're saying, no, uh-uh. Well, that's because that's what's best in their own interest. Jeff Passan on SportsCenter said the MLB is still wary of the virus making a comeback later in the year.
Now, there's concern at the league that a second wave could come and potentially wipe out the playoffs. That is not what anybody wants, and that's really what the 82-game schedule is hedging against. But there may be a compromise somewhere in the middle where we could see 90 or 100 games.
If a bunch of people go down and get infected all summer long and the numbers don't die down and we head into the cold and flu season, they're not even going to try to play the postseason. So think about this. If you want sports, the numbers have to come down. And they haven't come down on the virus. And you see some of the behavior on the first three-day weekend of summer. Mm-hmm. Some people that, listen, I hope I'm wrong. And I hope everybody in the Ozarks is just fine. Nobody had it. Nobody contracted it. And it's all great. I hope that works. But if the numbers don't go down, we're going to just start sports for a couple of months and we're going to turn it off.
At this point, every
That's
time.
Exactly what's going to happen.
Everything has been identified as a potential outbreak scenario. Groups of people together generally has ended up being an outbreak scenario to this point. There's no reason to think this wouldn't, but like I said, there's no sense in not hoping for the best. That was a terribly constructed sentence, but you know what I'm saying. We might as well plan for that to be good. There's no reason to say this is going to suck. Hope it doesn't suck. And
no longer can we plead ignorance.
No.
Like, you know, I thought some good points have been made. Hey, Mardi Gras, the parade. Well, we weren't really being told exactly what all was going on when New Orleans went ahead and had the Mardi Gras parade, right? But that is being attributed to why they spiked so high, why they had so many cases. There's no pleading ignorance now.
Nope. Now we know.
Mass congregating that results in an upswing in infections is on the people who mass congregated.
Yes.
And I hope it doesn't happen. I really do. I'm not rooting against humanity. I am not rooting for infection. I hope everything's okay. Personally, I'm not going down and getting together with hundreds of people in a confined space. That's just what I'm doing.
You can be free and smart at the same time.
You can. You can. And by being free, sometimes you can choose to do what makes our freedom the most fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make those decisions. It's one of the things I would urge people to consider. All right, so we'll see what Major League Baseball put out its proposal to the players. Basically, the prorated version, a little bit of a pay cut for the guys on the low end of the scale, but a big pay cut for the big payday guys, which is only a handful of them. But one of the examples John Heyman gave was like $36 million what Gerrit Cole was due to make under the proposal. He'll make about $9 million. He'll get about 25% of it. Play half the games, only get 25% of the money. Of course, the owners aren't getting, you know, half the revenue either. They're taking big hits with no fans in the stands and so on and so forth. But this is the proposal, and a lot of people saying that this is the beginning of driving a wedge between the low-end paid guys and the high-end. And we'll see what the MLBPA does to maybe balance out the pay, because right now so much of the payroll is going to just a handful of guys at the top, and a lot of good players are being forced to play on one-year deals. Trust me, I'm not asking anyone to shed a tear for the one-year contract Mike Moustakas got, because most of us would say we'd retire after that 1 year. We'd have enough to retire. I'm just saying the economics of the game are creating an upper class and a lower class and very little middle class for baseball, and the owners are trying to play on that and get all the guys to vote yes that are down on the lower end, which greatly outnumber the higher end folks that are in Major League Baseball. Jeremy Schapp talking today. If you watch the Lance documentary, I did. I found it very compelling stuff. He is a piece of work, to say the very least. Jeremy Schapp, talking earlier today, said Lance Armstrong was the ultimate competitor.
Lance Armstrong's a fascinating guy. I spent a lot of time covering him. I covered three of those Tours de France. I was around him before ever covering the Tour de France as well. He is as you can see in the film, he is a compelling guy. He is an intense guy. He is incredibly aggressive. I think I said this the other day. Lance, he wasn't just interested in winning the race. He wanted to win every aspect of what he was doing. He wanted to win over the media. He wanted to win over the fans, and he wanted to crush the souls of his rivals.
Compelling, I want to be clear, is not likable. Those words are not the same. It doesn't mean he's a likable guy, because frankly, he's not even now, when he has been contrite and admitted to cheating the system. He is not a likable guy. There's still an arrogance to the guy, but he is a competitor, and he was the best in the world at a sport that I believe everybody on those bikes was cheating. Everybody in contention was cheating. Just some of them got caught and some of them didn't. That to me is what that sport became about. You know, there was a joke my friends back in the day used to say that, you know, betting horses was not about knowing what horses could run. It was about knowing what horses, what doctor each horse had, because it was about whatever they were shooting the horses up with was about who was going to win. That was the joke at Monmouth Park. When I was in college, if you went to Monmouth Park, you didn't need to worry about the horses. You needed to worry about who the doctor was that was shooting them up. That's kind of where cycling got to. And he was the best at it. You know, he was great. This thing did detail just how great he was. Winning a professional adult triathlon when he was 15 years old. He faked his age to get into the thing. He wasn't even old enough to be in it, and he won it, beat some of the best in the sport in a triathlon at age 15. That's one thing I think should be pointed out. This guy was one of the greats in the sport, with or without performance-enhancing drugs. And I would ask everybody, if everybody around you was doing that in your profession and that's what it took to keep up, would you do it? I think if you were the ultimate competitor, the kind of guys that win six championships, I said this earlier today, I think Michael Jordan would.
Yeah.
If Michael Jordan was a cyclist, I think he'd have been doping. And I think if doping was going on in the NBA, Michael Jordan would have, because whatever it took to win, he was going to do it.
Yeah. I think he would have tried to do it clean for about a year. And as soon as he realized it didn't work, okay, that's it. Where is it? Where's the stuff?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back, talk more about the NBA, get a little bit more in detail with Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports, managing editor for NBCSports.com, NBA writer. He joins us next here in the program. Of course, our Need to Know brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. You need to know that they are open for business. Go see them. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com right now. Get your order. They'll be happy to bring it out. And the dining room is open. Limited seating capacity, so you're going to need to exercise some patience. But no better place in the city to watch a game than Twin Peaks. Ice cold beer, coldest beer in town, of course, made from scratch. Many of the food, most underrated part of the equation. Eats, drinks, and yes, those scenic views are back at Twin Peaks.
The program with Soren Petro.
Why are we stopped?
I'll have three cheeseburgers.
For God's sake, she's having a baby.
Oh, that's right. And a kid's meal.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, coming down the stretch run here. Talk a little NBA. It looks like a lot of the Ducks are getting lined up. We talked earlier today about all the different things going on in baseball and what they've got to work out there. The NBA looking like they are further down the road. Time to talk some NBA. Brought to you by our friends at Il Lazzarone Pizzeria, the only authentic Neapolitan-style pizza you're going to find for hundreds and hundreds of miles. That is a fact. You can look it up. Il Lazzarone. Don't forget the pizza made fresh right in front of you. And, of course, the rarest dough, the freshest ingredients, the oven flown in from Italy. It's Il Lazzarone Pizzeria, 412 Delaware Street, the River Market, 1628 Frederick Street up in St. Joe. IlLazzarone.org online. Kurt Heelan joins us here from NBCSports.com, NBA writer, managing editor at NBC Sports. He is with us on our Sprint Guest Line. Kurt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we're excited. You know, I picked a Bundesliga team, Dortmund, so I've got, you know, professional soccer, live soccer to watch. That's up and running. I've always been kind of a quiet NASCAR fan, so I'm excited to see all the races we've got going. NBA would be great to get it up and going, and, you know, are they going to do it? And you know, is July when we're going to finally see it?
Yes, would be the answer. I mean, obviously everything's in flux, but yeah, I think what you're going to see is by the end of this weekend, by early June, you're going to see teams call guys back to their markets. You know, a lot of guys have gone back to home, which means that they're going to have some sort of plan. There's a conference call Friday with the owners. They'll come out of that with a first draft plan, what this thing is going to look like. But I think you're going to see training camps open late June. Teams will go to Orlando for the bubble in early July, and by mid-July we'll see games in whatever format that takes. But I think you're going to see it. I think they really just want to kind of – they've got to find a way to get through to the playoffs and get some games under these guys, but they basically want to get through to the playoffs and play a full round and try to make this as legitimate as they can.
What hurdles remain? Like what need – we know it's been very public about how the baseball players are going to be paid. What hurdles are still there for the NBA to get this thing going? I mean, it seems like every time I turn around, I hear a new format. So it doesn't even seem like we've got the format nailed down yet, do we?
Yeah. No. And I look, they're talking to players. They're talking to owners. This is the chance for everybody with their ideas to come. You know, if you really wanted to shake things up, here's your opportunity to throw out. You know, there's 20-team plans, there's 16-team plans just going straight to the playoffs, there's, you know, everything. There are some plans with everybody going. Those seem to be dying. Damian Lillard today came out and just said, look, I'm not going there for five meaningless games, or if I'm going, I'm just sitting on the bench. I'm not risking playing and getting injured for five meaningless games if we can't get into the playoffs. And he's not alone. And it's not, by the way, it's not even like the players are thinking that way. If you're the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, hypothetically, why am I rolling out Carl Anthony Towns for five meaningless games? You know, why am I putting Steph Curry if I'm the Warriors on the floor? There's a lot more risk than reward for playing those guys in those games. So I'd be surprised if we see more than, you know, 16 playoff teams plus a handful, maybe some sort of play-in tournament. But they're going to strip that down. But aside that, They're trying to figure out exactly what format, and they're throwing out, you know, one through 16 seeds, which a lot of people wanted to do. There's even some soccer style group, you know, soccer World Cup group stage formats, just all sorts of stuff's out there.
Yeah. And so to me, is there, listen, one of the questions I've written down is like, who benefits from this? But that's difficult to answer until we know what the format is. And you mentioned Damian Lillard saying, hey, he's not going to play if there's no chance for the playoffs. I mean, should they just be going to the playoffs? Should they be like, listen, I know it sucks, but you know, here it is, and we've got to do what we've got to do, and let's just get the playoffs, which is the bulk of the TV money anyway, and so that they've got as much time as possible for the playoffs? Or is there a reason that anybody can come up with other than, everybody like to knock the rust off, but as long as it's equal for everybody, this is the thing I never understand. It's like, well, we've got to play some games so that everybody can get back into game shape. Why? Everybody's got to do the same thing. As long as the playing field is equal, who cares? You know, whether or not it's the sharpest or whatever, what you want to do is get as much playoff basketball as you can, right? That should be the goal of the league, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And look, I think you're not going to see all the 30 teams go. Just like I said, the risk isn't worth the reward. The risk of bringing it, just in terms of trying to keep the coronavirus out of the bubble as best you can. Somebody's going to test positive, but as much you're trying to reduce those odds and make it as safe as you can. You bring in those 14 non-playoff teams and their traveling parties and their families, you're talking minimum 500, closer to, 500 would be the teams and the traveling parties. You throw in families and all that, you're going to be 700 people? I don't know. But whatever that number is, like, you're hundreds of, that's just a lot of risk for how much reward for some regular season games? I just, like you said, the playoffs are ultimately what matters. So they might bring a couple extra teams in, but I'd be shocked if they went bigger than that. And then the format, like you said, look, the 1 through 16, I'll tell you, if you look at that bracket, man, it's good to be the Lakers. Everybody else is, like, I don't want to say everybody else, Denver and Utah and, you know, Toronto are on their side of the bracket, but the teams you'd actually be scared of, you know, the Bucks and Clippers are on the other side of the bracket, and they've got to go through teams like Boston and like teams like Philadelphia that are sleepy dangerous if they just can figure out how to put it together. And maybe, you know, maybe coming out of the break, they're a little sharper for some reason. That side of the bracket was way tougher. So it's going to be interesting because there is no perfect answer, and somebody's going to gain an advantage, whatever format they choose.
Right, but reality is it's the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. There's a pandemic, so stop complaining. Like, if anybody puts up their hand and goes, well, this isn't fair, you're quickly shouted down by, like, yeah, I know, it's not fair for everybody out there. Ask the people that are working on the front lines whether they think it's fair that they're pulling, you know, 5-12-hour shifts in hospitals or more. I don't even know how rough it is. So I think that's the one thing to me that I think has been that should be empowering to all these sports leagues. Anything you've ever wanted to try, the time to do it is now, because there's really it's a no bitch zone.
And the one thing the league gets to do that they've been growing momentum for on some level, but it was logistically really hard. They get to start next season in December now. They're going to play this season through probably, my guess is you're going to see games go through early to mid-September, draft late September, free agency October 1st type of thing. Training camps open December 1 with games, maybe a few games before Christmas. Maybe they start on Christmas. Maybe they shake the rust off a few games early, but, you know, around that time. But they've talked about doing that for a while. There's, you know, teams, especially in the Midwest and South, where and regions where football is dominant, who've wanted to get out of that, you know, the shadow of professional and college football a little bit. They're going to see what it looks like. They're going to run a full 82 games next season, starting in December. It'll probably go into July or August, and that's going to be a real test. That's the one thing of everything that could stick. If the ratings are good, and the ratings are good for finals in the summer and stuff, that might not change. They may end up sticking with that.
And why wouldn't they be, right? I mean, it gets them out. Yeah. To me, it moves them away from hockey, which I know hockey is a very little part of their concern, but it is just one of the advantages that I think's there. It pushes them, you know, away from the draft. I just, you know, to me, everything about it fits. Like, this is something that I think they all wanted to do, but it's like the security of like hanging on to what we've always known is such a difficult thing, to reach for that next vine and then just let the swing happen and see where it goes. But I really do think that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like grabbing a vine, and they're going to slingshot forward. As popular as they already are, they're even going to go even further because they get to be center, you know, center stream. Has there been any discussion about whether or not they'll drag college basketball with them?
That's a really good question, and it's one of the things it throws off is that it's just the international basketball calendar, right? Like the European leagues run on, and China and all that run on roughly that same kind of winter NBA calendar. So it's just, you're really shaking up that dynamic and would other things go. And the other thing they do have to work out if they're going to do this, 22 NBA teams share a regional sports network with a Major League Baseball team. And you're going to have to work out the logistics of game days in April and May and you know, however long the season will run. But you're going to have some logistical issues there. But I don't think it's anything that can't be worked on. It all comes down to money, right? All those networks have, an alternate channel. They can probably find a way to make this thing work. More and more people are streaming. So my guess is that you're going to be able to make that work, but it's one of the – they just got some stuff they really do have to work out.
During The Last Dance, we were reminded that Michael Jordan was able to play every game every night, even when Scottie Pippen went down at the end of his career. In that final year, he still shouldered the burden and went. I'm not saying everybody can do it. Michael Jordan was obviously a freak in every way, shape, and form. So saying, because Jordan can do it, everyone can, that just doesn't work that way. So I get it. But would there be any thought to shortening the season? Because to me, baseball should be about shortening the season. They've got too many games. And I understand you want the commercial inventory and you want the tickets that are there to be sold. But if you trim the games, you put more of a premium on each game. Like, that's one of the things I'm hoping that baseball gets going, is that we're going to see that if they play 81 games, every game counts too. You know, the pennant race is that much thicker, and every out means more. It becomes more closer to playoff style baseball, where you hang on every pitch. And likewise for the NBA, if you thin the schedule a little bit, if you back it up and thin it a little bit, do you eliminate some of the largely empty buildings of teams because you're not eliminated right away?
That's the argument. I think that there's going to be a push. I don't know that you're going to see that the first year. They've taken a, like every sport, I mean, the owners in this league have taken a big financial hit. There's no money coming in. Whatever playoffs are played, no gate revenues coming in from that either. So you're going to see there's a real push to make sure it's a full 82 next year. The owners want to recoup money. The players want to get back on a timeline. But I think the idea of shrinking that by, we'll say, a dozen games, for lack of a better number, or so, that's still out there. And I think if you move to December, if you're going to make these kind of radical changes, that becomes more reasonable. And it's something that everybody wants. You're talking about just resting guys and the load management stuff. That's never going to completely go away. Frankly, it existed before. They just, Magic Johnson's got a sore back. He's skipping tonight. Now he's taking the night off. That stuff happened. But I think you could have a lot less of it if you space the games out and play fewer games per week. You get more Kawhi Leonard. You get more LeBron kind of plays through everything, sort of like Jordan. He's just indestructible. But you get more of these guys. You're just not going to see teams treat it the same way if there's fewer games. And like you said, those games become worth more.
Yeah. Who benefits from the new setup? You know, I saw one of the things that, like, you know, maybe Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are ready to go, and the Nets could be next year's Nets playing right now for a shot at the title. Is there anybody who benefits more than the Nets, or at least down the road of where the Nets are?
I have to say, Kevin Durant's people have pretty much just shot that idea down. Like, they won't – their GM won't publicly say that because, let's be honest here, Kevin Durant gets to decide when Kevin Durant comes back, not the GM. Sean Marks' job is to hold the door open for Kevin Durant when he wants to walk through it, and little more at this point in terms of that. So – it's not going to happen, but they could. I think, though, I'm curious how much – it's going to be interesting, but I think it has a chance to help older teams that might have been just the bumps in Bryant. You know, James Harden looked worn down at points, right? Like, James Harden started to look like he carried so much load to that team. He started to fade a little bit, and plus teams are throwing doubles at him and stuff. Well, he's rested. That whole team is rested. The Lakers are older. Are they better off? I think it could help veteran teams get their legs back under them and give them a boost for this playoff run that they might have had, you know, just the mileage might, that might have caught up with them a little more. So that's my guess. Dude, nobody knows. That's the fun of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the older teams, LeBron James. You know, this is his shot at like history, right? We're reminded of The Last Dance. Jordan won 6 titles, and that you know, got a little bit of the conversation was about Jordan versus LeBron. I know ESPN fired some shots about it at the end on some poll they did, which I thought was, you know, I mean, it's fine. It's a scientific poll. I mean, they put it out there, and whatever people say, they say. I think they were influenced clearly by the recency of what was, you know, of sitting and watching Jordan's stuff. But I agree with some of the comments. Like, Michael Jordan was not a better passer than LeBron James. Anyway.
That was the one that got me. That was the one that, like, I'm reading that going, if you think Jordan was a better passer than LeBron, you're I don't know. You know, it's legal here in California, but you shouldn't be smoking that stuff that early.
Yeah, right? And listen, and everyone's entitled to their opinion again. And I think it was just like, oh, we just watched all this Jordan stuff, so everybody's drunk on Jordan-ness right there. And that was the most recent thing you'd seen was that deal. But LeBron is definitively a better passer. I'm fine if you want to land on Jordan being the better player, but LeBron is definitively the better passer. But do you think that you know, LeBron and AD and the Lakers – and I know the Bucks had the better record, but do you think that they are the favorite in whatever format we get?
They're right there. I think it's kind of three teams. I've liked the Clippers a lot, and now, you know, again, Kawhi gets rested, Paul George gets rested. I think they have more versatility to them. I think the Lakers have a better duo, and the Clippers have a very, very good duo, but more versatility around them. I think it's fascinating, and the Bucks kind of remain the question mark. Here's what I have to see from the Bucks that I haven't seen. What's plan B? What, I mean, in the sense that in the playoffs, when I can really scheme and I've got 7 games and I've got my scouts out there and I know what I'm going to do to slow down. Nobody's stopping Giannis Antetokounmpo, but if I can slow him, if I can make life difficult, what's their plan B? They didn't schematically or answer-wise deal with that well last year against the Raptors. Now they have to. That's the question they have to answer. But I think the Lakers are right there as the favorites, and I think LeBron and those guys come, like I said, they come back rested, they've been working out, they had built up a good chemistry as a team over the course of the season, and, you know, I'm really not worried about LeBron being in shape. The gym in his house is nicer than what you and I pay to work out in.
Yeah, and the guy's clearly committed to it. What is it, $1 million a year he spends on his body and everything? It clearly shows. So I think he should be ready. I think actually his experience should give him a quicker start than maybe some of the other guys. But then I might have it wrong. It might be that, hey, it takes longer for to get his legs under him. I don't know. I think it will be interesting. Listen, somebody said to me, goes, well, there's going to be an asterisk next to the season. I'm like, do you think? Like, yeah, right. I know. Every sport is going to have it, you know?
The flip side of that is, I don't know, like, 10 years, do we look at it that way? It kind of depends, I think, in a sense. Like, if, I don't know, Denver or Dallas rise up, win this year kind of out of the blue, and then never win again, never win another title, we'd see it that way. But if the Bucks or the Lakers or the Clippers win this thing, I don't know that we're going to look back on it with much of that. Much like, we, you know, in baseball, there's the – I don't – we look back at the 40s Yankees and think, yeah, but the World War II teams, I don't know. I'm not sure that in the long term we're really going to look at it that way. We don't look back at the 99 Spurs and think that was a fluke. But that's because they also went on to win 4 more after that and had a dynasty.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. What comes after will help define what it meant, what this season ended up meaning. We're talking to Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports. One more point here. Do you, when you sit around here and you got nothing but time to talk, have we gotten anywhere as far as where the draft is going, as far as like high school one and dones? And you know, growing and trying to keep those kids, you know, I know that there was a big push that we were talking about when we first started down this pandemic road about all the kids that are now jumping to go play in the kind of G League, Diet G League, or whatever they're doing with those kids, which I don't understand why they don't just play them full on in the G League. But do we have a better sense of where things are going as far as the draft here long term? Is it going to be when the CBA comes up after 23 or 24?
That's, I think, when you're going to see it. I thought 22 had looked like the year that it was going to be, which is big because there's a major star coming out in 22 that's the next. It's the next guy on everybody's list of holy cow, this is going to be the guy. But there's been some pushback. Hey, there's always some pushback from players who are like middle to end of bench. You see themselves losing a spot to a guy that, you know, some team drafts to develop out of the second round who's a high schooler. There seems to be a stall right now in that conversation, and I think it's going to get solved in the next CBA, but that's also getting opened up right now. I think ultimately they are going to go back to it. Adam Silver's kind of come around to it. They're just going to have to figure out the terms. And one of the things that's really holding them back is just those players aren't getting medical, and right now the agents control the medical for those guys and medical reports, and teams will want to see those. Teams want a good full medical report. So there's some details to be worked out, but I think ultimately they're going to get there. It's a few years away. And until then, you're going to see this weird hybrid G League thing kind of, as long as they're paying that the kind of money, you know, north of 200,000 for the elite guys, a lot of guys will jump.
Are you talking about Imani Bates as the kid
who... that is exactly who I'm talking about. There is a sense that Imani Bates is your next... And I hate to put this kind of stuff on him, but like your next LeBron, Durant, LeBron, Durant, Anthony Davis level of player, Curry, like game changing franchise, build this guy from day one kind of guy. Well, I guess Curry wasn't a day one kind of guy, but the kind of guy you could build around and everybody saw coming. He's people who haven't seen him. Again, I hate to use these kind of comparisons to a guy who's never played, but you watch him play and it's kind of hard not to look at Kevin, to see some Kevin Garnett in his game. So he's the guy everybody's watching.
Yeah, to me, the reason, you know, when I look at things, when people struggle to find who he reminds them of, well, he's got some of this, he's got some of this, he's got some of this, that's when you got a great one. When you're like, he's the next Zion. Okay, he's Clarence Weatherspoon then, right? You know how many guys were the next Barkley?
Yeah.
Clarence Weatherspoon and you know, every 6'5", 6'6", guy with a big ass was suddenly the next Barkley. And, you know, it's when this kid seems to have a little bit of Durant, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I got to say, just talking to people and it seems the people around him have their heads screwed on and that he has his head screwed on right. You never know. Fame does weird things to people early, and you know, predicting a 16 and 17 year old is going to look like in 3 or 5 years is why every sport struggles with the draft. It's just so hard to project forward, but this seems as good a thing as it's going to be coming down the pike.
All right, we're talking to Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports here in the program. Time for my Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. Let's start with this. Four quickies. First, just tell me the first thing that pops in your mind. What are you binge-watching? Got a show that you've taken on to take the place of some of the sports you're missing?
We've been binging Ozark a lot with my family, and well, not with my family, with my wife. That's not a family show. Loving Ozark, though. Love the darkness. Family, by the way, we did Atypical. If you're trying to find something to watch with your family and you're looking for something fun, Atypical is really good.
Okay, all right, that's good to know. Yeah, my 13-year-old said, "Dad, when can I watch Ozark?" I said, "When you're 40."
When you're 40. Out of this house.
Yeah, exactly. All right, did you grill out this weekend?
Yeah, we did, actually, last night. We had tri-tip, which is kind of like a big California piece of slice. We had tri-tip, and I grilled some zucchini and stuff on there. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good for you. Nice work. I'm proud of you. All right. I saw the Andre Drummond leaving, what, $1,000 tip on a $164 tab? What's the biggest tip you've ever left?
Oh, wow. I'd have to think about that. Probably over 100 on a big bill. I waited tables all the way through and bartended all the way through college and a few years after. And what I learned is I don't like people. Like, I like individuals, but I don't like people as a group.
Yep.
I said I couldn't pick a job where I had to be nice to people. But I'm sympathetic with them. So I'd probably over 100 on some big bills somewhere. I'm not sure, but I'm a good tipper.
I like that. I like that. All right. And finally, who goes number one in the draft?
That is a really hard one because it really is a flat top of the draft. I'm going to say Anthony Edwards. That seems to be the guy most people have, but there's some Wiseman fans and some others out there. I'll tell you this. Whoever gets the top pick, look for him to try to trade it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you're going to see all kinds of movement up there.
A scout put it this way to me. The guys who are going to be drafted 1, 2, 3 in this draft would go 6 through 10 a lot of years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard from a lot of people. Kurt, always love talking to you. Thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work and stay healthy, my friend.
Take care.
The program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
All right, a couple things here to get to with the kicker. First of all, we want to thank our friends at Il Lazzarone, authentic Neapolitan-style pizza. Josh, our buddy, he's got you covered. Go to illazzarone.org tonight to get you some great authentic Neapolitan-style pizza. 412 Delaware Street in the River Market. That is where you will find Il Lazzarone. And then, of course, in St. Joe on Frederick Street, 1628 Frederick. Illazzarone.org. Go see him tonight for that authentic Neapolitan-style pizza. This is a disturbing trend that continues. We're seeing it all over sports. Appalachian State eliminating today men's soccer, men's tennis, and men's indoor track and field. The dollars are not there, and the sports are being eliminated. And it's actually men's sports that are being eliminated more than women's sports because they're not eliminating football. And so they've got to cut scholarships somewhere, and they've got to maintain a number of female scholarships as well. So men's sports really taking a beating during the pandemic right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, as you said, it is a trend. It's not going to stop here. The next few months, you're going to see more and more schools, just like App State, having to make those moves, and it sucks.
What you hope is that a year or two from now, they're bringing those sports back.
Yeah,
you know, but
it's going to be a little while.
We're paying the price as a country everywhere. This is one of the reasons why, you know. Please respect the wishes of the doctors and scientists that are out there, because what we're trying to do is shorten this. And if this drags on for 2 or 3 years and gets worse, you're going to lose even more sports. And so right now it might not be affecting you, but all the different losses that are going to go and the continued hit the economy takes is going to end up being worse and worse and worse if we don't stay on top of these things. New Jersey lifted restrictions on professional sports in the state, setting the stage for the Giants and Jets to host training camps at their facilities. Devils, New York Red Bulls, Sky Blue FC also in that state. They can immediately begin training and even have games, according to Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey. I think this is a note. Do you think that any NFL team is going off-site? So many of them already train on their facility, but do we think we're going to be in St. Joe?
No.
I don't think so either.
Nope.
I think it's going to be contained behind closed doors, away from the fans. I know the fans don't get that close, but they're not going to want to bring the fans. And how up there at St. Joe are you going to help them practice social distancing?
No, you can't. You can't. You can't trust. This is too much, too important to entrust to an outside source for your safety.
Yeah. Dodger Stadium, which hosts nearly 20 million fans over the past 5 seasons, has now been opened as the largest coronavirus testing facility in the state of California. So that is what Dodger Stadium is being used. They're doing coronavirus tests there at Dodger Stadium. So one of the iconic stadiums in our country, stepping up for the community.
Like
right?
It.
I mean,
like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's
absolutely
interesting to note.
Interesting to note. You too can have a cotton swab jammed up your nose to find out if you've got the coronavirus. Fox Sports Kansas City going to re-air Danny Duffy's 16 strikeout game. That is on tonight. He threw 16 Ks at the Rays. You can catch it tonight on Fox Sports Kansas City at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for us. We will see you tomorrow.
WHB.